wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. But neither you nor I know when that day will be. So, since it would be wise for you to act now on God's offered mercy, as if it were your last opportunity, I count it also wise for me to now deliver to you my farewell message, just as I would like to do if I knew I were preaching to you my final appeal. Such occasions are times for a heart-to-heart talk. So instead of a sermon, I will just have a personal talk with you. Please bear with me if my remarks seem especially for our young folks, for this brings to my memory years past when, on my weekly visits to schools, the principal assembled the entire school for me to speak to them on the problems of life and how to meet them. After many visits, we became very attached to one another, and then I had to deliver my farewell message as I went to other districts, and they embarked on their journey of life. The memory of that final parting is still precious to me, and one day I will meet in eternity those young people whose lives I sought to influence for God and for good. The Bible raises the question, what is your life? As a young man in heathen lands questions, what is this life of mine after all? He finds no answer in the superstition of heathendom. But with God's holy word, the Bible, in our hands, we are not left in such a dilemma. The Bible tells us whence we came from and whither we are going. It shows our span of life here on earth to be very short in comparison with that great eternity of conscious existence that continues after death. It impresses us with the fact all we do has both an influence on our life here and a great effect on our life hereafter. The Bible reveals to us both what we are and what we are not. We are neither angels, nor are we animals. We are not God, and even though we may act very devilish, yet we are not the devil either. We are men, creatures of God, made in his likeness and for his fellowship, but fallen by willful sin and ruined in nature, yet still endowed by God with a personal will and the ability and the opportunity of choice. We may choose good or evil, to be on the Lord's side or to buddy with the world. It is our choice, whether for better or for worse. As Moses gave his farewell address to Israel, he cried, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed shall live. And as Joshua, their captain, led them into the land of promise, his farewell message was, Choose you this day whom ye shall serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In the spirit of these veteran men of God, I now set before you the choices of life, and I would help you choose life and not death. To choose to serve the Lord and not to throw away your life in the vain service of evil. This is the spirit of my farewell message. And this message is seasoned by scores of years in which I have seen the bitter end of serving evil and in which I have proven by personal experience the pure blessedness of serving the Lord. Now for my heart-to-heart talk. We pass this way but once. We cannot return to live one day over again. All we do or do not do, all we say or do not say, becomes history, leaving its mark on our characters and its record on God's books. Hence, there is a great solemnity to life. Life is no joke. All has its eternal consequences, even what we think. But one may say, no one knows what I think. Wait, you know better than that. God knows, and he will bring our very thoughts into judgment in that great day. And others know more than you may realize, for your thoughts pop out of your very eyes, whether good or evil, whether love or hatred. So let's get down to the serious business of making the very best out of our lives. How can we? First, I plead with you, don't live in sin, whether open sin or secret sin. Sin is a hard master. Its wages are very bitter, a life of misery and a death of hopeless horror. Sin tries to hide these realities with its jokes and thrills, but the bare fact remains, the wages of sin is death and not life. For sin worketh death, as the Bible testifies. And if you live in your sins, you must die in your sins, without Christ and having no hope. What a price to pay. Second, don't go along with the world. The Bible tells of a young man who set out to have his fling at the world. The world not only took all his father had given him, but stole his very character and left him a moral leper in the gutter of shame. In his desperate hunger, the world fed him on the swill and husk that the swine ate. Come, young folks, let's look over the fence and see that once well-favored young man after he's had his fling at the world. See his wasted form, so weak he can hardly keep the hogs from eating him. See his bed of mud. Look at the marred face of shame and hear his bitter cry. I'm dying with hunger. If only I had a crust of my father's bread. Now see why I warn you of the ways of this world? Before you realize it, you're caught in its current like a man whose boat is in the current of the Niagara River, racing to the falls. He may say, I don't see any falls. No, he may not. But when he sees the falls, he'll be going over them. If you wait till you see hellfire, it'll be too late. The Bible now warns us of the wrath of God and tells us to flee from the wrath to come. This world hastens to its doom. It murdered God's Son and hates his people. It loves sin and follows the devil. And its judgment is as certain as there is a living God. You and I can't save this world, but we can jump from this doom world as a burning building and save ourselves. Third, don't be on the devil's side. His promises are big, just as he promised Eve in the Garden of Eden, but he is a liar. He tells you to have a big time in sin since you're only young once and get right with God when you're old. Because you are only young once, why throw away those best years of your life? If you want to be a doctor, would you waste your young years and plan on starting school when you became 50? Because you are only young once, you should get right with God in your youth and study his word and walk in his ways in those formation years of your life, so that in later years you might be of service to God and man and reap the blessed reward of a life that wins. When Herod walked with the devil, stealing God's glory and destroying his people, an angel smote him and he was eaten by worms. And Judas Iscariot found the service of the devil so bitter, he threw away his paycheck and got a rope and hung himself. Satan is doomed by God. Thou shalt be brought down to hell, is the divine verdict. But as a drinking man wants others to get drunk with him, so the devil wants to drag you to that everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. If you want to be on the winning side, be on the Lord's side. I have warned you of these three, sin, the world, and Satan. Like three wicked villains, they crouch to waylay the travelers on the path of life. If they fail to allure, they will capture you as their slave. All who travel that road alone become helpless victims of those thieves in the way. The outlook for each one of us is threatening. What can we do? Turning to the positive side of life, we must first get right with God. You need God, the living and true God. You cannot make a success of life and live in rebellion to your Maker. Whatever it takes, get right with God and do it now. Take time out to be at peace with the one who holds your very breath in his hands and upon whom you are dependent for the food you eat, the water you drink, and the air you breathe. What does it take to get right with God? The Bible answers, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. By your sin you have defied God, by those very deeds saying, I'm going to do what I want to, I don't care what God does about it. You must repent of your sins and seek his mercy, crying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, and turn from your evil ways. Second, You need those sins of yours forgiven, cleansed, and removed. They're a guilt on your conscience, a stain on your heart, and a record on God's book of judgment. This, your need is staggering. But God has the answer in the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. All your need as a ruined sinner is met in Jesus, and His precious blood can make you whiter than snow. But when He cleanses you, He makes you a new person, changed in heart to live a new life, a life of victory. This life is in Jesus Christ, God's Son, who died for our sins and now lives in heaven to save to the uttermost those who come unto God by Him. It is now up to you. It is your choice. This one most important experience in life you must have. You must receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This is the vital and personal transaction that unites you in all your guilt and need to Jesus, in whom alone that need is fully met. Neighbor, stop. Give your entire attention to this vital step. Get alone with God and in the quietness of His presence and the earnest sincerity of your own soul. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. In simple words, call, "Lord Jesus, I'm just a lost sinner. I need Thee to save me and change me. Please make me Thine own to obey and serve Thee as my Lord and Savior." Then, as you quietly wait in His presence, He will make you realize that He has received you as His own. With a grateful heart, you will sing, "The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and His mine." Then and there, you will be born again. The Holy Spirit will enter to lead and empower you to live a new life in Christ Jesus your Lord. Third, then determine to live each day for Christ. Study His word and obey it. Ask the Spirit to lead you and follow His leading. Walk with God and with His people. Forsake the world, but proclaim the gospel to it. Like Paul, serve the Lord day and night. Use all you have and are for Jesus. Spend and be spent for His gospel. Make Paul's motto yours, "For to me to live, Christ." Neighbor, may this be your answer to the question, "What is your life?" And in heaven you will find an added answer. Hundreds there whom you influence for Christ. And best of all, your Lord's gracious words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," as with His pierced hand He puts on your head His crown of life. This is the only life that wins. And in the midst of the trials and triumphs of this life, you may suddenly hear a voice, "Come up hither," and Jesus will come again as He said, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to each one according as his work shall be." And He will gather all His own to our heavenly home and our eternal reward as we cry, "Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, in a heart-to-heart manner, I have set before you the best, the supreme to be found in your life here, and that which will go on into the life beyond as a forever and ever reward. That's why I have added the best life to live after the Lord saves you, a righteous and a godly life, a life directed and empowered by God the Holy Spirit, a life motivated by heart devotion for the Lord Jesus Christ, and a life laid down in sacrifice to help take the gospel of Christ to every man. Paul and Timothy and Luke and the early Christians lived such lives, and by the grace of God, I have so lived. So I can speak from personal experience. There's no life to be compared with living for Christ and His gospel. It will not pay off with money here, but it will bring the greater recompense of seeing a multitude in heaven led into God's salvation through your labors. Here is my parable. On the same day, there are two weddings. The first couple want no children to bother with, but they want money in the bank and a fine house. The second couple pay the price of a large family of children. Years pass, and we visit them. The first do have a mansion, but without children, it's like a big empty barn. And their money couldn't buy them happiness, but is sickening. It's just like sitting to eat dinner, and your plate was full of paper dollars. Its taste would be bitter, and their emptiness of nutrition would leave you starved. But the second couple have a house of lively youngsters, full of life and glee. Each child so precious, you could not buy him with a bank full of money. My parable is clear. Live to lead precious souls to Christ, and in heaven, as you see their joy, you'll be so thankful that you labored to bring the gospel to them. Count no price too great to reach the lost with the gospel of Christ. Our Lord Jesus told us there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, and what a joy it will be if you help to bring the gospel of Christ to that one sinner. This is the life that wins. Will you now make it your choice? I am praying for you, but you must choose. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.